Let's talk now with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana, on this fourth day of September. Good afternoon to you, Dan. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Todd.
And your weather is like what?
We're still running air conditioners and it's still humid, but you can tell fall is in the air. And of course, our days are about the same length as what your days. We can definitely tell that the days are getting shorter down here.
Indeed, they're getting shorter, and they start to get shorter pretty quickly. It's getting dark, I don't know, by 8 o'clock at night here in our part of the world. And harvest is coming at us somewhat quickly, though I'm told that next week we'll have some rainfall, so those folks that are trying to get some early harvest started might not be able to manage that, not only here, but across a large part of the Midwest. I'm wondering, as you take a look at the nearby futures and think about where this marketplace might be headed, it's been a harsh week for corn. Many producers are disheartened about the price of corn and its move lower, thinking that we had already maybe trounced through the bottom end of this marketplace. Are you concerned at all?
Well, I think a couple things. There's 2 months out of the year where the market just, on a historical basis, just goes into a meltdown, and that's usually the month of July. That's a statistical month that if you would just close your eyes and sell on July 1st and bought it back on July 31st, that would probably be a winner 80 to 90% of the time, because we do have a short crop, roughly 1 in 5 years, and then that's when the market goes counter-seasonal or you have bad weather in July. The other one is if you do have a good crop on its way, it's kind of like sell September 1st, buy back sometime during the first week of October. September is a very strong month to the downside from a seasonal perspective, and it accelerates as you get into the last couple weeks of September, on into the first week or 10 days or so of October. And basically what that is harvest pressure. And I think what we saw here with the release of the FC Stone numbers is every top and bottom is usually made with a panic phase. And I have a feeling that the FC Stone numbers kind of started this so-called panic phase or realization phase that we have a tremendous big crop out there. And with the size of crop that's coming at us, there's just not enough demand around to put the brakes on it. Farmers don't have enough grain sold, so you still have that transfer of ownership from the farmer to the commercial to go through. So there's all that hedge pressure yet to be put into the marketplace. And we broke down into new lows for the year and for the decline, which was kind of holding for a while. So I think we're just in this seasonal phase now of the descent into a harvest low. Normally, beans do a good job of putting the low in during the first 10 days of October and then never really looking back. On average, though, December corn will put in an October low, maybe bounce a little bit, but then usually comes back and tests it again during December. And those are just averages, and this year definitely looks like it's a super above average crop, at least the stuff that I'm reading on the wire service. Some of these yields are just through the roof, and so I think, you know, what we're seeing here is there's no frost in the forecast to really do much damage. There might be some in the far northern areas, but it does look like it's a green light now. And with all of the August rainfall that we're going to have, just a tremendous crop, I am getting some resistance from farmers that the bean crop may not be quite as big as what everybody wants to put it. But we'll have to, you know, we're not really going to know until the combines start rolling. And like you said, next week kind of looks a little rainy. Maybe the following week we're going to begin to start drying out a little bit. We could begin to see some, hear a lot more yield reports.
Can you talk a little bit about the basis in particular for soybeans? There still remains some really large overage, and beans just appear to be out of place or gone, one of the two, and producers might find that of interest, but it may not help them very much, I would assume, in marketing the next year's crop.
No, it's going to be a day-to-day basis, and basically what the basis is telling you is that we are down at pipeline inventories in soybeans, and the soybean harvest is getting off to a much slower than expected start, and that's the same way with corn. A lot of your exporters and processors were planning on getting their hands on some of this Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana inventory that was harvested, that usually is harvested early. It's been delayed for a couple weeks or so, and that is why you're seeing a very strong spot basis levels. I mean, we've heard reports of processing plants cutting hours. There's a lot of empty rail cars sitting down in the southern Delta area waiting for that corn harvest and bean harvest to come forward and fill up to move north. So what we're seeing here is that normally at this time of year, we would have a lot of harvest activity taking place in the Ohio River Valley and further south, but the rain activity has just kept everything greener and wetter than average, and that's, we're off to a much slower early harvest, and that's what that basis level is telling you.
Any final word for the producers before I let you go for the afternoon?
Well, I guess we'll talk a little bit about this in Commodity Week this weekend, but things are awful bearish. There is still some downside price vulnerability in this marketplace if the crop turns out to be as big as what some of these private estimates are. But I guess, you know, I want to be hopeful that the lower prices will stimulate demand, and that we will find some form of stabilization here not too far down the road.
All right. I'll talk to you in about half an hour to record Commodity Week.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. And yes, we are going to record Commodity Week this afternoon at about 2:45. Hopefully it'll be up on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org in that 4 o'clock area for a couple of reasons. One, because I like to do it that way. I think it's a better show. And hopefully you do too. So I'll have Dan along with Matt Bennett, Alan Dearden, and Angie McGuire as our special guests this week on Commodity Week up on the website by about 4 o'clock, recording at 2:45 this afternoon, in large part because tomorrow I am headed to Purdue University to host Agronomy Day at the Beck Agricultural Center. That starts at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time, 6:30 in the Central Time Zone. If you have not RSVP'd for the breakfast, you can still show up at 7:30, but please do have eaten already. Should be a great morning, Agronomy Day there on the Purdue University campus. I'm really looking forward to going over and taking part in it. Agronomy Day at the Beck Agricultural Center starts at 7:30 Eastern Time, just outside of West Lafayette, Indiana. That's on Route 52. Tonight, I will be right here in Champaign County in Mahomet. That's my hometown, but I'll be there at the Farm Credit Illinois building at 6 o'clock. And if you have RSVP'd, and I'm told we have about 120 already signed up for the meal, go ahead and come. If you didn't RSVP for the meal, show up a little bit late, have eaten already. We'll talk about ARC and PLC with Jonathan Kappas. Ellen Dearden will be there too. And so will, from Risk Management Commodities, Jason Clapp. That's tonight at 6 o'clock in Mahomet at Farm Credit, Illinois.